Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to Food for the Journey. And I certainly am praying that it will be food for you. I'm not talking about a steak dinner now, but I am talking about some good, hot food. And I hope that it touches your heart. As other foods touch your body, I hope this word of God touches your heart and perhaps changes it, draws you closer to Him. That's what we want. That's what we all are called to do. Today is the feast of Saint Catherine of Alexandria. I want to read to you just a little paragraph here because she's not well known, I think. She was a young noblewoman schooled in Alexandria in Egypt, one of the great centers of learning in the ancient world. After successfully arguing the case for Christianity with pagan philosophers before the Emperor Maxentius, she was threatened with torture on a spiked wheel. The wheel miraculously exploded, and the emperor had Catherine beheaded. Before her death, she declared her intent to grant the requests of those who prayed to her. She was counted among the 14 holy helpers the saints invoked in times of pestilence and plague by the faithful of medieval Germany. Saint John Paul II restored Catherine's feast to the universal calendar in 2002. Read about her life. Learn a little more about her. She certainly was a courageous, loving, committed disciple of Jesus Christ, and that's what we want to be too. So we take a look at the first reading for today from the book of Revelation, chapter 15, verses 1 to 4. I, John, saw in heaven another sign, great and awe-inspiring, seven angels with the seven last plagues, for through them God's fury is accomplished. Then I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire. On the sea of glass were standing those who had won the victory over the beast and its image and the number that signified its name. They were holding God's harps, and they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Great and wonderful are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear you, Lord, or glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All the nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. Do you worship him? Do you come before him? Do you acknowledge daily his place in your life? Lord, you are my Savior. You are my God. You are my King. Do we do that? I try to do it every day. I don't succeed sometimes, but I'm trying to remember who he is. And I am your servant, Lord. I am your servant. I'm intended to follow you and to do what you ask. All that God wants is to bring us to happiness and to eternal life. And we say, oh, no, I don't want to do that. I want to do this. Brothers and sisters, listen to God and listen to the saints. They're the ones who know the truth. Let's pay attention and give him the worship that belongs to him. Psalm 98 says, great and wonderful are all your works, Lord, mighty God. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wondrous deeds. His right hand has won victory for him, his holy arm. The Lord has made his salvation known. In the sight of the nations, he has revealed his justice. He has remembered his kindness and his faithfulness toward the house of Israel. Let the sea and what fills it resound, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands, and the mountains shout with them before the Lord, for he comes. For he comes to rule the earth. He will rule the world with justice and the peoples with equity. I want to be ready for that great day, don't you? I want to be ready. God knows that we're sinful. God knows that we're tempted. And he understands that, but do we seek his forgiveness? And do we praise him? And do we thank him for what he has done for us, the way he has cared for us? Please, brothers and sisters, give to God what belongs to God. Give him gratitude today and every day for what he has done for you. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verses 12 to 19. Jesus said to the crowd, "They will seize and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and to prisons, and they will have you led before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead to your giving testimony. Remember, you are not to prepare your defense beforehand, for I myself shall give you a wisdom in speaking that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. You will even be handed over by parents, brothers, sisters, relatives, friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives." Are you truly a disciple of Christ? Are you walking with him, marching with him? Are you seeking to know more of the truth? Are you seeking to deal with the sin in your own life as the sin in my life? Are we seeking God to help us to overcome that we might be ready for him, that we might see his face? Oh, brothers and sisters, I long for that time. I do. But then something takes me, it happens in this life that I like, and I think, oh, Lord, I hope I don't have to die now. But I will die one day, and so will each of us. Are you ready? Because this is not death to nothingness. This is the death that leads, if we are following him, it leads to eternal life. Eternal life or hell. Brothers and sisters, make your choice. In fact, I really would encourage you to say that to the Lord every day. Lord, I want to follow you today so that I may see you in heaven. Lord, give me the strength to avoid what is evil. Just say that to the Lord each day. Ask for his Holy Spirit to come, and he will help you because he loves you. St. John Newman said this in part, and I want to bring it to your attention. Our Lord Jesus Christ, after dying for our sins on the cross and ascending on high, left not the world as he found it, but left a blessing behind him. He left in the world what before was not in it, a secret home for faith and love to enjoy wherever they are found, in spite of the world around us. Do you ask what it is? Scripture speaks of the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you and I, you also are being built into a temple for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. This is the church of God, which is our true home of God's providing, his own heavenly court where he dwells with saints and angels, into which he introduces us by a new birth, and in which we forget the awkward outward world and its many troubles. When men are distressed with anxiety, care, and disappointment, What do? They take refuge in their families. They surround themselves with the charities of domestic life and make for themselves an inner world that their affections may have something to rest on. Such was the gift which inspired men anticipated and we enjoy in the Christian church. We may be full of sorrows. There may be fighting without and fears within. We may be exposed to the frowns and the censure, the contempt of men. We may be shunned by them, or to take the lightest case, we may be wearied out by the unprofitableness of this world, by its coldness, its unfriendliness, its distance, and its dreariness. We shall need something nearer to us. What is our resort? It is not in the arm of man, in flesh and blood, in the voice of friend, or in a pleasant countenance. It is that holy home which God has given us in his church. It is that everlasting city in which he has fixed his abode. It is that mount invisible whence angels are looking at us with their piercing eyes, and the voices of the dead call us. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. If God is for us, who can be against us? Brothers and sisters, this is the truth. What I read to you is the truth, that God will come and he will take us to himself. Just as he gave us life in this life, he will give us life for heaven. Brothers and sisters, please don't be afraid, but at the same time, don't push it aside like, oh, yeah, well, maybe some year I'll pay attention to that, or someday I'll pray attention to that. No, we want to pay attention to it now. Not that it consumes our thinking, but every day, you know, my suggestion is this. Every day, just say to the Lord, Lord, my days are numbered here. I want to live them for your glory, that I might see you in heaven. Just pray that way. Simple sentence. And I believe that God hears us, and that the more convinced we are, and the more courageous we are, the more we can die in great peace, because that's coming to all of us. Don't worry, I'm not just focusing on death, but I do want to make that point here, because the life here on this earth is not our whole life. There is a whole other life to come. Do you think about it? I do. But we can't imagine what it is really like. Eye has not seen, we've said that before. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. It hasn't entered into the heart of man to conceive what God has prepared for those who love him. Oh, brothers and sisters, I long to see you in heaven. I long that I will be there. I long that we will meet him. I long for that day. Not that I'm meaning that it's right now, but please open your heart to him. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.